Welcome to Spiraling, the Iced Tea Podcast after show where we spiral about things that may or may not be figure skating. My name is Neda.
My name is Megan. I don't know what we're singing, but I love it.
I don't know. How are you
the
doing,
West End.
Megan?
It's like the West End version. I'm great. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited that we're spiraling. I'm excited that we're here. We are in the end of the season, at the point of the season, I should say, where it is very much figure skating that we will be spiraling about, because this is extended honorable mentions Grand Prix coverage. We're just gonna chat about where the Grand Prix is at, mostly. This is a combined episode. We're gonna talk about France and England, two nations that have always lived in perfect unity.
They
love each other. They've never had a rivalry of any sort. No, but because we didn't do honorable mentions extended for either one of them on the main podcast episodes, we're just going to chat about everyone who didn't podium at either one of those events. And we're just going to have fun with it, because there were so many good people at both of those events. Honestly, I know we kind of like mentioned it on the main feed, and I don't want to keep beating a dead horse at all, but this Grand Prix so far has been so enjoyable, and I do think a huge part of that is that I don't have to worry about the health and safety of like a bunch of 14-year-olds the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, and this is not a new take. Like, people on Twitter have been saying the same thing. It's just like looking at the lists, I'm like, there is truly not a single person I don't enjoy watching on the ice so far in the circuit. And that's rare. Well, there is a bunch of people. There's like three people, but that's fine.
Yeah, it's like the difference between going to a no children allowed wedding versus going to a wedding where there are a lot of children and no one is looking after them, and everybody's still getting like as drunk, but like, oh, you God. Also kind of have to worry you're going to trip over and step on someone. I'm not saying that you should or should not have children at your wedding. I'm just saying that sometimes it's a little more relaxing to be in a space without children. I don't have children. I'm not married. Don't turn this into discourse. I'm just making a silly joke.
Yeah, no, I get it. Also, I don't think that the Patreon people would turn it into discourse. I love kids. I don't have any of
my God, I adore children. With kids is the best part of my job. I
you
just
also
don't
have like a shit ton
one.
Of nieces, so I feel like you're equipped to talk about spaces with children versus spaces with no children, because you're like a niece wrangler at all times.
I'm really, really well equipped, if nothing else, to talk about loving children and then handing them back to their parents.
Loving children and then knowing that sometimes it's better if not. All this to say, we've been having a lot of fun with the Grand Prix circuit as it has been happening. And let's just chat some more about all the people. Starting with France, we're gonna like travel back in time. As of time of recording, that is like 2 weeks ago that this happened. We were in France. We were at Angers. And I didn't make the joke on the main episode because it's so like uneducated of me, but it really tickles me that Angers is spelled like Angers. The entire time I was like, oh, this is the angry Grand Prix. I was like, this
Honestly,
Grand Prix angers me.
The fact that I have been so French-pilled my whole life with all the French classes I've taken, that this is the first time it even occurred to me that it's spelled like angers. That is so funny.
It only occurred to me when I was typing up, like, I had to, like, hand type the hashtag instead of copying it from somewhere. And I do the thing that those Slavic people do where we don't spell, like, A and G, like whatever, we just say Angers, and we know what that means. So I had to like do that, and then I was like, oh my God, it's Angers, and it tickled me. I had fun with languages.
Let's talk about some dudes. So first of all, we want to acknowledge Sena Miyake had to withdraw, which is so sad. Yeah. His body overflowed with romance to the point where he just exploded and couldn't skate anymore.
You know more anime than I do. That sounds like an anime trope.
Well, let me tell you. There, it, my favorite, one of my favorite mangas of all time is called Ultimate Boyfriend, I think. I believe. Mm-hmm. I'm going to Google this as I talk because I want to make sure. It's one of my favorite, like, girly manga because most of the time I'm into, like, sci-fi shit because I'm not like other girls.
Well, you said it yourself. I'm not even going to say anything.
Boyfriend. I mean, when I was in high school, that was definitely, like, my... Okay, it's not called Ultimate Boyfriend because I Googled that and it's... Oh, no, it's Absolute Boyfriend. That's what it's called. It's called
Absolute the English, Boyfriend.
There is apparently also a K-drama based on it that I haven't seen, but the...
Well, there goes the rest of your weekend.
Yeah. Wait, okay, we're gonna have to... I hate that we have to... Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's by Yu Watase, Absolute Boyfriend. Okay, so the plot of this manga... Mm-hmm. Which I highly recommend based solely off of I enjoyed it when I was like 16. So like grain of salt is this girl gets a love bot boyfriend android in the mail. And they like fall in love for real. But then like being in love kills him because he's a robot and he can't handle being in love. It like overloads him and he dies. But it's OK because she also has a hunky neighbor who wants to date her and they end up together. And that's fine. So it's cool.
Isn't there a Disney original that's basically the same plot, like a Disney original movie, Disney Channel? I've never seen any of those movies because we didn't have Disney Channel when I was a child in Bulgaria. But I watched a lot of like commentary YouTubers and I swear to God, there is one Disney Channel original that's like this girl where she doesn't have a date for something. But her dad is, like, a super programmer for, like, the government or something. And she uses his computer to design herself a boyfriend.
That feels super Disney original movie. I believe that. I think it's, like, such a... It's a trope I never get sick of is, like, a robot who falls in love and then starts malfunctioning. I don't know why, but it's, like... I'm sure you could do a lot of therapy on that, on me, but I love that trope.
I've seen your solo show.
Yeah, so you know. So that's like therapy. But anyway, that's what happened to Sena Miyake. It turns out he was a robot that somebody built to go to the prom with, and things... Somehow he ended up in the Grand Prix circuit by mistake.
That is my favorite Yuri on Ice crossover.
Yeah, it's the Yuri on Ice, like, sci-fi AU.
That, honestly, sounds amazing. Like...
I'm sure it exists. Like, people, like, more Yuri on Ice fanfic readers, let us know if that exists. I don't know if we'll get around to reading it, but I want to know that I'm right.
Yeah, just send us the link for no reason in particular. I know we're talking about this, and you're welcome to talk to me about Men in France right now. I just need to Google this Disney Channel movie about... I'm trying to Google, and all I'm coming up with is Disney Channel movie about robot, and I don't think that's going to work. Robot no, boyfriend?
Maybe?
Wait, hold on. Yes. It's called How to Build a Better Boy. And it is okay. From 2014. So it makes sense that I'd never seen it. Not because we didn't have Disney Channel when I was a child, but because I was almost done with my undergraduate degree at that point.
Yeah.
I'm gonna read you the plot. I'm so sorry. This is Patreon. So it's about two girls. Her names are May and Gabby, and they are intelligent 10th graders. One of them has a crush on a jock, of course, and she thinks that he's going to invite her to homecoming, but...
But he won't, because like, she's intelligent. Wait, yeah, what is she fucking smart. Thinking?
She wears glasses.
A jock is not going to invite an intelligent 10th grader.
Also, the jock's name is Jaden, which is really, like, it's such a, like, 2014 movie name. So she gets humiliated by, a cheerleader who's already going with Jaden, and she's like,
not intelligent, and that's why she got picked.
Yeah, she's a cheerleader, she wears short skirts, etc. And she, May is like, that's fine because I already have a boyfriend. And then Gabby offers to build a virtual boyfriend for May using the computer software known as X17, which they believe is used by May's father, Dr. James Hartley, to design high-definition video game characters for his company. What they don't know is that he actually works for the government and it ends up, like, creating a whole-ass human.
Oh, the government can create humans in this world?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Also, Gabby is in love with May. Don't worry about that either. Like, yeah. It's very clear to me that Gabby is Cyrano de Bergeracking a robot boy so she can, like, by proxy date her crush.
I'm adding this to the list of movies we have to watch, either for content or just to, like, feel insane for a little bit. It's going to be Barbie movies and How to Build a Better Boy from 2014.
You know, I mean, I could always use some tips on how to build a better boy.
Yeah, I have no idea how to. I don't even know how to build a mediocre boy, so I would appreciate the guidance.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe
so
I'm overestimating
what else happened in France?
Okay, so Landry LeMay happened, and I want to really talk about his programs, but I want to pull up the Grand Prix, like, official score thing, because he doesn't have a Wikipedia page, which seems like a mistake to me. Aww. Somebody make Landry LeMay a Wikipedia page. Hello.
Last time we called for a Wikipedia edits, a kind listener of ours did make the edit that we called for. So I'm afraid of our power there. You know what I want? I want Landry LeMay to make his own Wikipedia page because it's one of my favorite things to read when, like, minor celebrities or something have a Wikipedia page that they very, very clearly wrote themselves.
But is there not, like, a restriction on that? Like, how you can't, like, do your own IMDb? Can you not do your own wiki?
You can't, but, like, you can get your bestie to upload a wiki.
You can get your mom to do it or something.
Yeah. It's just like when the biography page reads, like, the about section of your personal website. I'm like, oh, sweetie, we can tell that this is not an impartial article. Do you want me to? Yes, okay.
I got Landry LeMay's
ICU. He's from Grenoble. I've been there.
Oh my God, Stan. He likes ice skating, video games, and cycling. I would argue, personally, to me, that if you are ice skating at this level, it is no longer a hobby. And I don't think you get to list it in your hobbies if in this context. I feel like he needs to come up with a different hobby.
I disagree. I think because he didn't say figure skating. He said ice skating. So maybe his hobby is just like going to public outdoor open ice rinks and just vibing.
Okay, also, I think I'm mistaken. I think I falsely attributed the horrible, confusing Star is Born program to him. And I don't know if that's what it was.
Wait, wasn't that Economides?
It was Economides, yeah.
I don't know how to read his name. I don't know what his name is.
I don't either. I loved his short program. Let's talk about him then, because he's on the brand. Yes. I loved his short program, and I loved the joke I made about it. No, that's Landry LeMay.
Yeah, wait, we're not talking about Landry LeMay?
We can do whatever we want. It's our show. Let's talk about Landry LeMay.
I think I said everything I wanted to say about Landry LeMay on the main pod, which is that he appears as though someone knew how to build a better boy, and the input they put into their How to Build a Better Boy program was French figure skater.
I do also like Massive Attack. I agree with you on that. Doing Papa Was a Rolling Stone in a post-Dennis Vasiliev's world is
brave.
So brave.
Moving. Yeah. Okay. Is it Economides or is it... I don't know how to... You're French.
I truly...
Help.
I don't know, though, because, like... A French person might not have a name pronounced exactly like a French word would be. I would have pronounced it like Economides, but like I have no idea. I want it to be like Economides so I can stand by my joke of like
in this economy,
Cardi B and singer of the other version who I forget right now in this Economides. But yeah, the I like it mashup short program, brilliant, chef's kiss, love it.
It made me feel insane. That was one of the events that I didn't get to watch live, so then I had to, like, watch it in my own time, and I was losing my mind by myself. And I didn't have like the shared experience of like, what is happening? But honestly, I more pop music on ice from men, I think.
Yeah. And like, don't be afraid for it to be like girl pop music.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Give us full Taylor's version on ice.
Give us
the free though. The free version. Though.
The free
though.
Okay. First of all, we were like, I feel like anybody who listens to the main feed episode and then not this is going to be like, they're so stupid. The choreographer that we're like, oh, like, didn't his choreographer have like some sort of like ethnic background? It was fucking Florin Amodio.
I can't remember everything at all times.
No, I truly can't either.
And that doesn't help the fact that this mashup is insane. Like, okay, if you just want to do...
He's from Brazil. So like, that doesn't even...
So I can't pronounce this and I'm not going to try, but he does this version of Shallow from A Star Is Born, which is by a South African youth choir. And that would be insane enough by itself if it didn't then go into a bunch of other music and finish with Shape of You by Ed Sheeran. Like, that is just too long of a journey to take in like 4 minutes.
Yeah, a lot going on. And I think I have never felt more insane. I joke about feeling I've never felt more insane while watching a program. I am also now seeing that his exhibition is Gangnam Style, which
I just saw that.
To me, I think, why not put it in the free skate at this point? Like, why save that for the exhibition?
You go youth choir, South African youth choir, Shallow, into a bunch of instrumentals, into Gangnam Style, into Shape of You.
Yeah, and like, that makes
sense.
Don't
fucking worry about it. Also, the Shape of You is also the youth choir version, in case you were worried.
Yeah, that's where the through line is. So don't worry. If you were thinking this isn't cohesive, you're wrong. But also, you're right.
I remember, because I was live tweeting the free skates, I remember as the Shallow version was happening, being like, what is this? And then the last, like, it's literally the last 10 seconds of it, it cuts into Shape of You. And I just have to be like, am I having a stroke? Is this normal?
Yeah, it felt very like I work in a institution where there's like typically multiple music rehearsals happening at once, and like the songs will overlap in ways that occasionally almost make sense and make me feel like I'm listening to a weird remix. But then it's like, oh no, these are just two separate rehearsals. Like last night, somebody was playing Billie Jean, and then somebody else was like on the bass, and somebody else was playing like When the Saints Go Marching In on the flute, and I was like, this actually slaps. But that's what that made me feel like.
Yeah, it very much has that exact vibe. That is uncanny and extremely correct. This is what it was like to experience this. Who else was there? Can I real quick, this is not exactly an honorable mention, it's more of an apology. Wesley Chu of Canada has never done anything to me, and he's a fine skater. And I don't know why, but my brain has decided that he's my enemy. I'm sorry to this boy, because he's not done anything bad, I think. But I also think
that Vincent.
Yeah, I think the Vincent and then the Nella Fantasia don't help. Because that's like the exact style of men's figure skating that I'm like, it's giving like junior recital in a way that like I don't enjoy.
Well, for some reason I didn't clock this last year, but he did a Vincent short and an I Belong to You by Muse free skating. And so it's just very much like a Vincent tribute act. Like, please, son, don't go down this path. Forge your own trail.
Maybe that's why I'm like having this adverse reaction, and I feel bad because he's a good skater, and I actually like, I'm excited for like the future of Canadian figure skating and all of that, so I want to support this boy. And I wish my brain would stop being mean to him.
Yeah, well, you know what? Something we can work on. Maybe you can have, like, an arc over the course of the season.
Oh, my God. Yeah, an emotional thing where I arrive at enjoying a Vincent program.
Yeah, totally organic. We're planning it on you, but it's totally organic. You'll see.
Yeah, don't worry about it. What else? Do we have other boys from France?
I don't know. Lukas Brzycki's arms are great.
Lukas Brzycki, I'm a huge fan of his. I think he has like that fun, I don't want to say balletic quality to his skating, but he has like this way of holding himself that I really enjoy. He's like also like kind of tall for a figure skater, which is also interesting to me. Also, I just opened his Wikipedia page and I saw that he won silver in Sofia at the Sofia Trophy in 2017, which is exciting to me because that happens at my home rink.
Yeah, I like him because his short program gives weird, like, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure energy of, like, camp masculinity, like, ripped dudes just sort of, like, posing and flouncing around. I love it.
I love camp masculinity. It's one of my
it's a little bit flavors. Like, it's a little bit like,
yeah.
Okay, wait.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Uh-huh. This is Patreon, so I'm going to have you walk me through this. My brain is not working right now. Who's okay. Who's the artist who did all the really gay like pencil drawings? It's Tom of something.
Tom of Finland?
Yes. Okay. It's giving Tom of Finland a little bit.
Oh my God, Megan.
But also, the reason I needed you to walk me through that was because uh-huh. my brain won't retain Tom of Finland as a name. It wants me to say Tom of Holland. But it's just because of Tom Holland.
That's a different thing. If Tom Holland decides to do homoerotic pencil drawing.
Yeah, it's like, what if my brain was like, we need to conserve some space in here. So we're going to combine Tom of Finland and Tom Holland and put them in the same brain cell. And surely it won't ever be an issue.
How to build a better artist.
Yeah.
How to build a better boy, and it's an actor who also does homoerotic.
Wait, can I say something though?
Uh-huh.
Actually, Lukas Brzycki is giving Tom of Holland. You know what I mean? Like Tom Holland in a yeah. Tom of yeah. It's the yeah. curly hair, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I buy it. I'm a fan of this analysis.
Amazing. Level-headed, accurate figure skating analysis.
Hey, listen, that's someone else's
channel. We never said we were level-headed or accurate.
I've never promised anything. Should we talk about women?
Yeah, I just want to say, like, before we move on, that I'm still really pissed that they didn't do something about the fact that fucking Nika Igadza and his whole, like, Sambo Russian war criminal, not war criminal, but maybe,
they are
I don't
very
know,
very much
team.
War criminals.
Yeah, that their whole team, and that Yvonne had to go right after him.
Yeah,
I didn't like
Glitter
that at all.
Was
I thought
charge
it was
of that just tacky, and we talked about it already. It's just upsetting.
Yeah. Also, like Yvonne's whole thing with like the gunshots and everything made me feel like we're always very critical of like people who use gunshots in their programs, and like I feel like he's like allowed, and then maybe people should stop unless they're literally him. You know what I mean? Because now we've had this precedent of like. I'm using this to express my angst over the horrible war in my home country. So, like, let's maybe not put them in for other less important stuff now.
Yeah, I feel like, God forbid, if something terrible is happening to your people in your country, maybe then. But maybe let's hope for a world where no one has to use gunshot noises in there.
Yeah, I would love that if this
yeah,
could
that would
be
great. Yeah. Also, I know I said this on Main, but I'm going to repeat it because we're talking about Yvonne already. Aside from everything terrible that has been happening to him, his country, and his people, he's also just fantastic to follow on social media. He has great opinions about everything. And he like sometimes chimes in with his own life tweeting of other people skating, and he's just fun. So I hope that, like, in time we can just appreciate him as just, like, a fun young dude as well.
Yes, absolutely. So I think that's, I mean, yeah, that's, I guess, what I have to say about the French men.
Let's talk about the French women. Actually, let's start with, like, fully French women. I can speak the femmes, if you will. Maya Berenice Maita is the most beautiful woman on earth. And mm-hmm. I am so happy she's back on the Grand Prix circuit. And she had a very good time.
Yeah, that white dress, man.
The white dress is genius. I've just thought about this dress at like random intervals since we saw it. It's the one drop sleeve with the other one that's like fully stoned and bedazzled and everything. It's very, very beautiful. The whole thing is gorgeous. She looks so striking in white. Also, her fucking the short program catsuit situation is also amazing. Like her entire like outfit collection and the programs themselves, it's just all hits.
It really does. Yeah, it all hits, no misses. So happy she could be back and like not horribly injured, knock on wood, and doing very well at home. Just the best for the best person.
Yeah, we love to see it. Very, very happy for her.
Also just, French.
Yes, oh, also sorry. French. No, I was just going to reiterate that it's just very good to like see her back after like such a public injury that she happened to have last season. So it's just nice to see the recovery and to have like a good performance back home. It's great. But also French.
Also French is Leia Serna. And I have been saying for a couple seasons now that if she ever kind of gets the PCS presentation aspect of her skating together, she's going to be very dangerous. And while she didn't play super high in this particular event, I was really, really, really pleasantly surprised with the presentation of her programs this year. I was like, this is a different skater in terms of grace. And, you know, of course, this is me kind of being a little hypocritical, I guess, because I'm like, oh, everyone's doing floaty ballerina. But I'm like, I was pleased to see her incorporate a little bit more floaty ballerina in her, the way she moves her limbs. I thought that was a really, really big improvement for her. And I think that was one of the like moments of like, oh, skaters like really can change if you just nurture them and let them develop over the course of several years and not just like a few months.
Oh, for sure. I am ready for her to have a new short program. Bang Bang is one of those songs that I just do not like, and I've never liked it, and I don't like it when anyone performs it, and she's been doing it for two seasons, and I'm ready for her to just like explore something else.
Yeah, I liked it when I almost liked it better when she was like choppy and weird and awkward. I feel like it worked fine, and then now she's like grown up and become kind of a new skater. I'm like, give her something new. Also, Enigma, the free skate, is just hilarious to me. Enigma makes me laugh really hard. And was also like, as far as I remember, I'm thinking of Deep Forest. Who's the people who like got very famous on like world music, ethnic electronica, but then like never properly sourced all of it. Okay, I think it's yes, okay. So I think I'm thinking of Deep Forest, who worked with Enigma, but they were two different, like, they were two different European, like, techno-y kind of groups. But yeah, it was that, like, world music techno genre thing of, like, let's, like, get some chants from some tribesmen in, like, random country and then not credit them or do any of the proper ethnography. But anyway, Enigma just makes me laugh because they're just so cheesy and 90s.
I'm gonna tell you this because we're on Patreon and this is never gonna get to the person I'm about to talk about. Enigma is also the name of a fellow Sophia Scene drag queen who I don't particularly like. So like the sentence Enigma just makes me laugh because I don't enjoy this person and this is funny to me.
Wow, you're getting like the gossip on this Patreon episode. Yeah. It's like all the secrets.
Yeah, tell me in the comments of this Patreon episode if you want me to spill the tea on local Soviet drag scene drama.
Also, like, tell us who you don't like that won't ever get it back to.
Yeah, just like, if you want to just, like, yeah, names, but, like, no context. Just be like, I fucking hate Jeremy. And I'll be like, okay.
Yeah, fuck Jeremy.
Whoever they are, like, fuck them. I don't care for them. Yeah. Who else was at this event?
We're still in France, right?
We are still in France.
Why do I have like 18 tabs open about England then? Riddle me that. Bad.
This feels like a weird history question.
I
feel like we've talked so much about all of those ladies already. I don't know how. It's just time keeps happening. I do want to say Olga Mikutina.
I was going to say, yeah.
Continues to be my favorite person on earth, completely unironically. I adore her. If she ever retires my Nocturnal Serenade, I'm gonna go into like the stages of grief. It's so cool. The fact that the dress is red and purple and black and silver and all of it. And also that it's so like gothy and it has ghost sounds in the beginning. It's perfect. Everything about that program is... It's camp in the exact way that I want things to be camp.
It makes me wish that she could be like... Or that she could have been alive in early internet so we could see what her MySpace would have looked like.
It would have looked exactly like this dress.
But yeah, like I want to see this. I want to see this. It's like if you took a MySpace pro, like you took somebody's MySpace for like a scene kit and you like made it into a program. And I can see the blingies like sparkling in my mind when I watch it.
Yeah, it gives very much like, God, if you find like a MySpace theme that can have like little corsetry detail and stuff.
Oh my God, yeah.
It gives, you know what it gives? It gives us like little pixel dolls that you'll dress.
I love those. I feel like I talk about them constantly on various podcasts because they were such a massive part of my life in middle school.
Me
too. The dress up dolls.
Yeah.
You'd have to make you and all your friends, and then you'd make up like a bunch of characters. Oh man, if like I want to do that now. Like if those are available anywhere on the internet, I'll have to look if anybody knows.
I feel like they might be. I know that people found like the Barbie.com games recently. And like, the thing
no,
with the
they did?
Those, yeah, they did. I did the nail art one recently.
I loved the hairstyling one. That was the
me
best one for me.
Me too. I liked all of them. The babysitting one used to stress me out a lot because it's so much responsibility.
Yeah. I don't know why yeah. We both got really silent. We were like, yeah, let's reflect upon the difficulties of raising a child. Anyway. Also, I'm really happy that Audrey Shin is doing Yo Soy Maria because I'm so happy someone's doing it again. I missed it. B, I've been saying give Audrey Shin interesting programs challenge. And I think this counts. I think this is like enough out of her general like Cymbalta commercial music genre that I loved what we were getting. And I was like, thank you. This is drama. She is able to bring it, give her a vehicle to showcase it. And they did. But then they were like, oh no, it was too interesting. Let's bring back the awful Michael Smith short program and turn it into a free. Because if there's one thing that everybody was saying about that short is that I just wish it was way
longer. Yeah, I enjoy Audrey a lot. And again, as of time of recording, I've seen her skate again because she's at 10HK and you haven't seen her yet. So we're not going to talk about that. I very much love Yo Soy Maria. I think I talked about this recently. I actually very much enjoy Piazzolla moment. And she has the flower and the hair, like the whole thing is correct.
I've really come around and I think like musically, I really do really enjoy it. I think that the original impression of like, ugh, with it was that 4 seasons ago, it was so overdone, specifically mostly by people who didn't really like rise to the occasion in terms of performance. And so it just kind of, for me, became synonymous with like, you know, it's the bland, low energy, go girl, give us nothing, clap it and slap it, with some exceptions. Like obviously Satoko's was iconic, but.
It feels like it can be shorthand for like, I'm doing drama when you're not actually doing drama.
Yeah, I think that this season in general, I'm seeing less of that. I'm seeing less of like, let's substitute a really lively program for the skater doing anything lively, and more of this is a skater who can do lively, so we'll give them lively because they've earned it. Like, I like that trend that I'm seeing.
Yeah. I just enjoy her skating very much. I think, like, I didn't used to, like... Because there are so many girls on Team USA that I very, very much, like, love and follow very aggressively. I kind of, like, didn't pay as much attention to her in past seasons. And I think that's on me, because she's very good.
Yeah. Well, you know,
also,
you can't
wait.
Keep track of everyone all the time.
I can't. I just saw that her exhibition is Ghost, but it's not Ghost the film. It's Ghost the musical. like Casey Levy, and that is amazing. Like a deep, deep Broadway cut for your exhibition. I wanna talk to whoever like arrived at this decision for this child who has, I wanna bet, not seen Ghost the film or Ghost the musical.
Maybe she has. Maybe she's a musicals nerd. We don't know.
Yeah, God.
We don't know her life.
Even if you're a musicals nerd, I feel like if you're a musicals nerd who's 18 years old, there are so many shows I would imagine you would stand before you arrive at Ghost, which was open for like, God, I will lie to you, but it was open for like 120 performances or something in like, I was in high school still, so it must have been like 2011, 2012. So this is a wild, deep cut, and I respect it very much.
Yeah, nothing but respect.
Yeah, I want to know if she skated it somewhere. Yeah, because I haven't seen it. I've also, like, not been watching the exhibitions.
No, I haven't either, and I feel bad because I've heard the galas are, like, are really fun this year, but I just don't always have the energy when the events keep coming and they don't stop coming.
I just can't, like, I struggle with this. Galas, I've been to one gala in my life, and it was fantastic when I was there in person. But something about the energy of a gala, if you're not there and you're watching from far away, is odd to me.
No, that's like a thing, I think. I've been talking about this with other people too, and I think if you're there in person, it's totally great. And if you're not, you're just kind of like,
I just feel like I'm looking at a party that I'm not invited to.
It's like being at a Zoom birthday party. Like, something is just lost.
Yeah, there is, like, some of the vibe is not there. Anyway, let's go to England. Let's swim across the channel or something. I've told you this story. I've told you the story about how I met God, right?
On a ferry? Yes, but tell me. Yes, but tell me again.
Oh, my God. For the people, I was on a ferry once coming back from France to England because it was when I was in undergrad and I was living in England, but we'd gone to Disney Paris and we're on a ferry and it was like 3 a.m. and we're in this, it was like wonderfully clear weather. It was like cold. It was November and you could see both countries on both sides of the channel, which was fucking magical. And I was on like the outside of the ferry. I don't know how ships work, but we were outside with my friend Ellen. And this extremely tall man, he was like very, very tall, came and he talked to us for a little bit and we just like chatted and it was like a deep philosophical conversation because it was 3 a.m. on a ferry in no man's land in the middle of the English Channel. And then he was like, okay, I'm gonna like head back inside. And we're like, okay, nice talking to you, bye. And he goes, I'm God, by the way. And both of us were just kind of like, yeah, that tracks, okay. And I fully am convinced that he was some sort of deity. I don't know if he was the Christian understanding of God, but he was some sort of entity that we met.
What if God was one of us?
Just a stranger on the 3 a.m. ferry to England.
Just a stranger on the ferry.
Yeah, thank you very much for singing for me, because God knows I wouldn't dare sing on podcast recording.
Did you say that to him when you met him? You said, I will never sing on a podcast. Don't
yeah,
ever
I promised,
ask me to.
I promised him, so now I can't. Yeah. So anyway, we're now in England. I've met God and we're in England. And I met God in the form of Roman Sadowski short program at the MK Joan Wilson Trophy 2022. I feel like I have to say the whole thing. It's one of those things where it's like very official.
Yeah.
I think it's also because Mark, when he was commentating, kept saying the whole thing. So now it's like, that's the name of it.
I love that short program. I think it's so good.
I'm just such a fan of, I feel like he understands that style of skating more than like most folks, most men.
Yeah, and I've heard people say like, oh, there's too much bluesy stuff happening this season. I'm like, no, shh, I like it. Stop it.
Yeah, no, I think this one is good. I also think there's like drama to skating to a song called Cold when you're on the ice.
Yeah, so appropriate.
Yeah, I respect it. It's also funny to me that both of his programs, like competitive, are so like soft boy, dramatic, like I just got broken up with and I'm feeling emotions. And then his exhibition continues to be his BTS bullshit.
Yeah. Okay. Can I tell you a side story? Okay.
Please do.
So BTS. So this BTS song that he skates to is called Boy With Love.
Yes.
And I had a dream a few weeks ago that Weird Al did a parody of Boy With Love called Boy With Lunch. And it was just about like the different kinds of sandwiches he likes to eat. And it was so good. And I know that Weird Al doesn't write parody songs anymore. And I totally respect him for going out before he got to be like annoying or too much or whatever. Not that he ever would be, but I respect people who retire on top, basically.
Yeah.
Especially musicians. And anyway, I told some people that. But then, okay, fast forward, like the following week, I was at this party in Philly with some friends, and coincidentally, Weird Al was in town, and they were like good friends with his merch manager and had gotten to meet him. And he was, they were like, we have to tell Weird Al about this. Like, we have to tell Weird Al. And I'm like, I know for a fact that Weird Al hates it when people try to give him ideas, as well he should, even without him having retired. And they were like, no, we have to go. Like, we'll call her. We'll give her the idea. I was like, this is, if I have to tell Weird Al Yankovic about my Boy With Lunch dream, I'm gonna fucking end my own life.
I think it would be terrible if you had this idea like awake and we're like, this is so funny, give me Weird Al, put him on the phone. But I feel like the man would appreciate like a, hey my dude, I know this is weird, I know you're gonna hate this, but I had a dream. I think the dream angle could have really sold it, but I also know that you're a fantastic songwriter, so I just think you should write it.
I feel like the problem with me is that when I write, like, because I'm a songwriter, when I dream up pretend songs, they come out like very fully realized, as you know, also from my pretend Eurovision dream I had last week about Party for the World in Kazakhstan, which was a hit Eurovision song that doesn't exist, but I made it up in my head while I was sleeping.
The weird thing is, I might be lying, it might not be Kazakhstan, but there's one of those countries from that corner of the world is entering Eurovision for the first time next year. So it's very likely that you just had a prophetic dream and that something like that will happen.
What if Elizabeth Tursunbaeva is just somehow like the person singing it?
Wouldn't that be great? She's a musician, right? She can like play the violin on the track.
I don't know. I bet she could learn.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So here's what Elizabeth Tursunbaeva is doing. And she is not a man who skated at the MK Joan Wilson Trophy 2022.
Okay, so what I want to say about this event is that it had some of the funniest failures I've ever seen. And I'm not a person who laughs when people fall as a general rule. generally, I'm very concerned. I'm like, oh my God, are they hurt? Are they gonna have a concussion and no one's gonna save them? Sometimes it's funny though. It's funny when it's Morrissey.
Oh my God. Look, I know we have a ban. I know he captures the ban because he skates for war criminals. Well, technically, maybe not anymore. He's in Italy for some reason. I have questions about that. And we know that he used to be my boyfriend, my Georgian boyfriend, back in the day when I thought he was redeemable. That short program sparked so much joy in me. I'm sorry. I have to live my truth.
Yeah, the fact that Brady Tennell scored higher than him on her short program and ended up in 10th in the women's was like in the short program was just like, mwah, like just chef kiss. I love it, especially because I think that Jackie predicted he would get silver at this event. And I was like, I mean, Jackie's almost always right with his predictions. And so when he's wrong, it's just so funny to me as well. I love it.
I just at this point, I don't expect anything from men's figure skating because there are so many people who are extremely good and also slightly chaotic that I never want to make predictions. But also I was kind of afraid that Morrissey would do like fine, like technically acceptable and like would maybe podium because we've seen it play out and I did not enjoy it. And it was just very funny to me. I'm sorry. This is like my one instance of like schadenfreude that I'm like allowing myself. I'm sorry.
Also, like, He skated to Way Down We Go, which is really funny too.
Yeah, it's like, if you're gonna be like, I think it's performance art at that point.
Okay, too many people doing Elvis who shouldn't be doing Elvis this year. I have yet to see, I think, an Elvis program this year that works for me in the way that Yaroslav Paniots did.
Ekaterina Kurikova.
I don't buy it. Here's what I want her to do. I'll tell you exactly what I want her to do. I want her to do the Elvis program, but I want it to start with the Kazy Musgraves Can't Help Falling in Love With You. And then I want it to go into the forbidden, like, never released remix of Toxic with Viva Las Vegas that for some reason was not on the Elvis movie soundtrack. Because I think that's the right choice for her. I think her skating to just straight up Elvis is bizarre, and I think she's doing the best she can with it, but I'm not sure that's like exactly right. This for me personally, I think Morrissey skating to Tutti Frutti, I'm pretty sure, is a hate crime.
Yeah, I'm surprised they let him do that.
I don't even know what to say about that. I'm just gonna
let this hang. I'm just gonna let this hang, and y'all can make your own conclusions. Something about, just real quick about Elvis. I appreciate your pitch, and I think the Forbidden remix is a very good idea for Katya, who was neither at this event nor is a man that we're talking about, but we've arrived here. Can't Help Falling in Love is like top 10 of songs I can't fucking stand. And I
really,
God, I fucking hate that. It's that and like, What a Wonderful World and like Somewhere Over the Rainbow. It's like all the fucking songs you do when you buy a ukulele. I can't like songs that are like so soft and are like trying so hard to make me feel like a tender emotion. I can't. It's profoundly irritating for me. I hate all of them. It like makes
I definitely have songs like that. I think all the ones you mentioned I really enjoy, but like I definitely do have songs like that.
The Rainbow Connection.
I love it's, like, the Rainbow all Connection. Of those,
like fucking cheesy ass songs. And I'm not trying to be edgy or anything. It's like a visceral response that I get. I'm like, shut up. Like, why are you trying to get me to feel an emotion so hard?
The thing for me that does that is like, do you remember that Jim Brickman Butterfly Kisses song?
What?
It was very popular at weddings in like the 90s. That gets me.
I feel like I would know that if I heard it. Also the song Bubbly. Do you remember the song Bubbly?
Yes, that is the essential one for me, is I want to throw up when I hear it. I used to sing it in a cappella, and like the girl who did the solo was really...
I did that in a cappella as well.
Wait, okay, also, this is such a weird connection, but in the main episode... in the main episode, I shouted out my friend from sixth grade, Tatiana, who dressed up as Teresa when I dressed up as Barbie for Halloween, and it was her solo when we were in high school, and she had a better voice than Colby Calais, so it was nice when she sang it, but shout out to her. I think she's, like, a doctor now or something, but...
Oh, wow.
of, like, social work or something. She's, like, a saint.
Amazing.
But... Yeah, that song, I don't like the image of bubbly. I don't like, I hated that era of music in general.
Yeah, I'm sorry to be a hater. I realize I just listed a lot of like classic romantic songs that are arguably very beautiful. I'm just a normal person with a normal brain.
I need to talk about something that happened, and I gun to my head. Could not tell you whether it was Graham Newberry or Edward Appleby. I think it was Graham Newberry, but I don't know. And I'm sorry if that's racist to English people.
I think they can handle that.
I think they can handle it. The short program. And I believe, I'm leaning more towards Graham Newberry, but I'm not sure. Short program. There was a moment in there where I believe it was like the second or third jump. And it was like, he kind of stepped out of it into the most aggressive squat I've ever seen. And that moment, like, broke something in my brain. And, like, again, I was watching this with our friend Jules. We had to rewind and rewatch that moment, like, 20 times. And we were, like, on the floor, couldn't breathe laughing. Something about it was just pure physical comedy. I'm so sorry to this man. It was just great.
Well, hey, he's stuck in your memory, and I think that's fine. I can't remember that. I might have to go back and watch both of those men and figure out the squat.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure it was the Kaleo one. I couldn't mm-hmm. stop laughing. But
it's like a clickbaity title. British figure skater does a jump. What happens next will have you laughing. That's the title of this episode, is what happens.
You really
next?
Missed your calling working for a news aggregate.
For Darman. Do you know who Darman is?
No.
Oh my god, Megan. Darman is this man who makes videos on YouTube. He has, like, millions and millions and millions of followers, or, like, subscribers. They're, like, short movies, extremely, like, highly produced with actors and everything. And they're always just, like, they always have a moral. It's always, like, jocks bully girl. What happens next will shock you. And it, like, turns out it, like... It's always about, like, some sort of, like, don't judge a book by its cover kind of thing. and there is a YouTuber that I really enjoy, commentary YouTuber Jarvis Johnson, who does a thing called Darman Bingo, where he will just watch Darman videos with, like, a bingo card of, like, all the cliches and tropes that come up in every single one of them. And it's a joy. We spent, like, several house parties this summer just, like, getting mildly drunk and playing Darman Bingo, and I highly recommend it as a pastime. But all of those titles are like English figure skater goes to a skating competition. Like, it's all of that. And also, that's the tone with which he narrates. I'm not just insane.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
I think
thing.
I want to close out the discussion of the men from the English the English event, the John, the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, with Corey Cerselli, because I have a theory that Corey Cerselli is Gabrielle Dailman's brother and or maybe same person trying to compete in both disciplines. I just think they look alike. They're both very glamorous and, like, have dark hair and good eyebrows. And I just think that, you know, what are we not, like, looking into that we could be looking into?
I love this conspiracy theory for you. I did watch, like I said, on Maine, I did watch the free skate of the event with a group of friends, and they saw Corey Cerselli, and one of them was like, what is Timothy Chalamet doing there? So that is where I'm at personally.
Yeah, it's very with him. I think he looks like a drag artist out of drag. It's like a very specific look, you know?
It is. Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. It's like glamorous in like a weird way. Oh god, a drag artist out of drag can be such a compliment, and also such a specific, not even a dig. It's just, if you say that about a person, they're either going to be flattered or very offended.
It's just that, it's like they always look glossy and moist, like moisturized.
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah, they do. I need to move on from this, because I'm...
Yeah, let's talk about women.
Yeah, let's talk, I just think that women... God, so many good women. We kind of started already because we mentioned Katya Gorakova and we discussed her being or not being Elvis. She had such a fantastic time in the free skate. In the short program. I can speak. Who else was there? Gabby Dailman, who we also just mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
She's been having a bit of a up and down time coming back. But I think she's mostly proud of herself, which is great.
Yeah, and I like that even now, like nowadays, even when she's not doing her best, it's not like a total falling apart disaster where she loses all of her fundamental skating skills. It's just like a regular, like, oh, the jump wasn't there, but I still can do everything else kind of time.
Yeah. Yeah, which we appreciate. I think it is time to talk about Brady Tennell. It is time.
It is time.
Brady.
It is time. It's always time to stand Brady.
Oh, God, I'm so happy she's back.
Yeah, I'm so she's happy not she's back. She's not at her top form yet, and that's okay. I do hope she will get there. I would be so heartbroken if it was like she couldn't get there because injury stuff. Like, I don't even want to say it. Like, I really hope that she continues her recovery. Her programs are bananas. First of all, I need to talk about the short program dress because I don't know what to make of it.
Wait, no? You don't like it?
I like parts of it. I think it looks like on Drag Race when they have to do like a half dress when you turn one way and then you turn the other way and it's like something else. And I think individually they're both fine, but they don't go together. And I hate the white elastic belt because I think it looks like she's in a musical and she has her mic belt on.
I didn't have any of those emotions about it. Maybe I need to revisit. I didn't have any emotions about the dress, but that might be because I was recovering from the Greta Thunberg jump scare.
No, that was the other one. That was the other one with the Greta Thunberg jump scare that I cannot describe the noise I made. That I can't believe. And look, we haven't talked about this at all in any way. I cannot believe that we haven't talked about this.
The thing about this, and first of all, I respect Greta so much, and I think that she's a fantastic child who's already done so much for the world, and she's gonna continue to hopefully change this world until it burns out one way or another. Having said that, for some reason in the past like couple of weeks, I don't know how it started, but my group of friends, we keep going, "How dare you," at each other, like anytime anything happens. And like we do like the full Greta impression.
"I should be in school.
How dare you?" And we keep like saying that. So when this happened, I thought I was hallucinating. Because I was like, how has the one European brain cell traveled from us to Benoit? How dare the brain cell?
Okay.
It's just like, it's the one quote poll. It's the same one. This is for me and me only.
There are some things that I need to say about this. That's hysterical, first of all. Second of all, okay, I have a handful of bullet points I need to get through in my unpacking of this. One, okay, so Mark and Reddy announced that it was like, she's like, it's inspired by like the Rodin sculpture, the Thinker, and she gets in the pose, and I'm like, okay, sure. And then he's like, and it's about the Thinker coming alive and seeing the garden is in disrepair and fixing the garden. And I'm like, what? But then I think I just immediately, she started skating. I put that in my back pocket. I was like, maybe this won't come out in this program and we'll be fine. Okay. So, and like, to say nothing of the fact that like, I really hate the like weird rearranged Vivaldi thing where they put winter in seven. It drives me insane. Not like, again, I've said this on this show a million times, but like, I like weird meters, but I just don't like, it says it's arranged by Cedric Tour. I thought it was the Max Richter version, but all the like rearranged versions of Four Seasons drive me insane and are bad in my opinion. But that's like the least of our problems here because, okay, yes, Greta Thunberg jump scare.
Might be the proposed episode title as well.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, this costume, first of all.
Are you about to be a hater?
I have a couple of funny stories about it. I don't know how I feel about it, but my first funny story is that because I was watching with our friend Jules. Jules grew up at a Waldorf school. I mean, not at one, like she went to one. And I guess like there's a specific genre of like Waldorf painting where you do like wet on wet watercolors and you can only use primary colors. And she's like, "Why is Brady wearing a Waldorf painting?" That made me laugh. And the thing that made me laugh about it was that because it was like a blue and greenish like earth dress with like getting like hotter and fierier toward the bottom, it looked exactly like the costume that this guy I knew in college wore one year for Halloween when he dressed as slutty global warming. It was literally that. It was pants, I think, instead of a dress, but it was like the heat was emanating from the crotch region, and that was why it was like slutty.
I mean, I'm sorry, but this dress is slutty global warming. Like, the statue is slutty global warming.
I was like, this is so fucking funny, and I'm obsessed with the fact that it's literally the same thing. Do we need a really on the nose program about global warming? I don't know.
Several of them.
I don't
several of them.
I don't know if we need any of them.
I don't know, but there are several of them. There's one in Ice Dance, and I can't remember which one. I'm sorry. Also, Maurizio Zandron of Italy. Is he from Italy? I don't know.
Oh, with his, like, elementary school mural shirt?
Yeah, he has the Earth song, which he's still doing. This is slightly a spoiler for you for NHK, because he's at NHK. He's still doing that, and I can't remember if it used to have spoken word before, but it has it a did. Very it helpful... Did. That, I feel like I've blocked it out. I tweeted about this today. I was like, this program, we've been living with it for 3 years, and it shocks me every time. I don't know if we need any of them, but I also don't know if we need a climate that's that fucked that people keep making figure skating programs about it. I would enjoy if not.
I think there's too much going on here, and I think if we want, I think that, like, it would need to be a little more compact. Here's what I'll say. I know we love Benoit. I think that Benoit is a hit or miss choreographer. I think that when he's on and he has like million-dollar ideas, they're really refined, they're really well like executed, like they're some of the best. And then I think that there's like other Benoit ideas where he just
global warming statue.
Yeah, like he has an idea and then like did not pitch it to anybody, did not receive any feedback or notes. There were no revisions. It was literally just like top of the head. I'm in the shower. What if a statue came alive because of global warming and it was Brady Tennell? Let's do it and put it on the ice right now. Like it was very brain to ice pipeline. And I don't know. I would have a couple more rounds of edits may not have gone amiss.
I agree with all of that, but I will say that out of any context, I adore this dress. I think that especially the orange glove part of it is beautiful.
I do love the orange glove.
The back is gorgeous. And I just think Brady is beautiful.
I will say.
All of this good.
The slutty global warming costume that kid wore in college also had one fiery hand detail when he put his hand on his crotch, it like...
Of course. And
it was, yeah, it's part of it.
What if that kid, and that kid, Albert Einstein, no, that kid, Benoit Rocheux.
I mean, this kid, like, wasn't white, so unless something magical happened, I don't know.
Maybe he's on Benoit's team.
I think he's, like, a medical doctor. But...
Oh, God, I forget you went to, like, smart school for smart people.
Yeah, I guess.
This kid is a medical doctor, and here we are. Also, I have a joke for you, but I need to type it out, so it's gonna be it's just the formatting. I think this episode should be called Greta Jump Scare, but I think it should be in all caps with intervals between every single word.
Okay,
like Benoit style. Like that. Like yes. Greta Jump Scare Benoit style.
Benoit style. Benoit's version.
Having said all of that, I'm so happy that Brady's back, and I do hope that we see her come back stronger. Also, she is a fucking masterclass in, like, attitude and having this experience be what it is. Because people are like, oh yeah, it's, like, so, like, sad that she ended in dead last and was clearly not, like, fully back. And everything she had to say about it on social media and in interviews was, like, so, like, positive and, like, full of gratitude and like understanding of like this is where she's at right now and she's just gonna keep moving. And I just love seeing that so much more than if she was like, well, that sucked.
Like, yeah,
very smart. A very smart approach. Also, Benoit like did like a very smart post about it. I was like, Brady, we love you so much, you're working so hard. I was like, yeah, King, tell her. So that was good.
Yeah, and apparently she and Adam Schoenfar are like good friends now and have been training together, and she really pushed him, and so she's kind of a gold medalist in that she's probably a little bit responsible for his gold medal.
Yeah, I'm so proud of her, and I'm so proud of like that entire little French, I was gonna say French connection, Jesus, this like little school that Benoit's building. Because, like, the thing with Brady is she went to do, like, a summer camp there, and then she was like, I'm staying, which I respect so hard. She, like, apparently loves her new, like, life in France, which is very nice.
It is really cool that she's just, like, a cool American girl living in France. Like, that's the serve.
Yeah, she's giving Emily in Paris, but it's Brady and Nice, and she is amazing.
I need to talk about the other insane program, which was Gabrielle Izzo's short, I think. The one with, like, the saxophone techno, like,
yeah,
Philip Glass, but what if it was played on a hurdy-gurdy?
Philip Glass, but what if it was played on a hurdy-gurdy sounds like a Chris Fleming bit.
It was a little bit Chris Fleming-y. I don't know if I love Gabrielle Izzo as a skater. I think as a person, she's probably really wonderful and she seems lovely. I don't know if I'm totally sold on her skating. I don't know if I like it.
She's one of those people I need to talk about in therapy because she just looks like she would bully me in middle school, so I can't get on board with it. And I know she's done nothing to deserve that. Also, I feel like you just have, like, something against, like, the Cedric Tour arrangements. Because both of her programs are also Cedric Tour arrangements.
Maybe I should just fight this man. I don't even know who this man is. Let me look this up.
Should we find him?
I think
I think we should go to France. And if once we're in France, we still feel like we need to fight this man, maybe we should fight this man.
Yeah. Like, I think that... and it's, of course, his name, too, is in the, like, Benoit, all spaced out style.
Of course.
Coach, music composer. He's cute. Enemies to lovers, maybe?
Is he the one that I think he is? Welcome to Patreon. We're just gossiping about this man now.
Trying to figure out which DAW he uses. It's so blurry, I can't recognize it. I will judge whether a man is...
Oh, yeah, he is the one I think he is. He's very cute.
I will judge whether a man is dateable based on what music software he uses.
Jesus Christ, Megan. Yeah, he's cute, and he's done some good things. He's also done some questionable things, and that's fine.
Yeah, that feels appropriate.
This episode is over an hour long. Should we? Do we have anything else to say?
I think we've done some good things, and we've done some questionable things, so who are we to say?
Yeah, this episode is one of them. If you're listening to this, though, you've done only good things because it means that you have access to Patreon and that means that you support us and you support the making of this show in a truly uncertain world where social media is being very hard. So thank you very much. And we will be back next week with NHK bonus stuff. And also, I'll be back on main feed. And also, we have a website now, in case you didn't hear me say that 20 billion times on podcast main. It's icedpod.com. And there's, like, a nice little mailing list and some other fun stuff that you can click around and discover. And if you're here and you're supporting us, thank you so very much.
And thank you so much.
Have a good weekend. We love
you. Have a good weekend. Bye.